Hey there, everyone. It's Brittany, the Remote Mom, and we're back for another episode of the Remote Mom Collective podcast. Today, I'm here with Allie Kushner. Hey, Allie, how you doing?
Hi, doing well. Thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you for joining. Today, guys, we're going to be talking about returning to work after maternity leave and that it's okay to want to go back to work. And we're going to talk about that story of, how maternity leave can be different and being a new mom can be different for everyone. And it's not always sunshine and rainbows experience. It's uniquely challenging. So Allie is going to share her powerful story about going back to work after a C-section and confronting postpartum depression. And I'm really intrigued, and I really related to you, Allie. Actually, let me back up. I'm going to tell the listeners how we actually connected. So Allie and I are both in a group called Working Moms, and so we connected that way. And then usually in Working Moms, everybody follows each other on LinkedIn. And so Allie and I recently connected on LinkedIn, and she posted something, what, last week or the week before? I think it was just last week,
I
right?
think it was last week, yeah.
Yeah. And you posted something so vulnerable and so, I don't know, I was just so impressed by the way that you
Thank
just
you.
put it out there. And it connected with me because I had a similar experience. I had a C-section. I went through postpartum depression. I was so ready to go back to work. It was insane. And everybody thought that I was crazy for wanting to go back to work. And so it felt really great to see somebody else who had that a similar experience, because I really haven't run across a lot of people who had kind of that same yearning to go back to work to feel kind of normal again, right?
Yeah.
So thank you for saying that. And so I reached out to Allie and I said, hey, can we do a podcast together? Because I feel like this is something that there's more than just the two of us that are feeling this. And so I'd love for you to just share your story. Just give us a real a recap of what you posted, and just tell me about what happened, about how you got there, and why you wanted to post that, and we'll just start from there.
Sure. So that's a heavy, heavy question. So I'll give you the super high level. So I'm a mom of two. I have a just over 2-year-old and a now 8-month-old, which I can't believe. And every pregnancy story is different. You never know how you're going to react to becoming a mom. You're becoming a mom for the first time, a mom for the second time. It's still a new experience, right? And I had a really rough pregnancy both times around. It was a miracle, and it was joyous and all of those things, but it was also super hard. And in those months leading up to giving birth, I felt like in some ways I was losing myself. Yes, I was gaining this new family and I was super excited about that, but at the same time I wasn't recognizing myself day to day. That, I was super exhausted. I physically wasn't recognizing myself when I was looking in the mirror. My desires to work out had changed everything. And I gave birth, and that was super hard. I had a semi-emergency C-section, in the fact that the doctor said, hey, you can have a C-section now, or in about 10 minutes, it's going to be an emergency. So you choose. That was an awesome choice. Had a C-section, beautiful, healthy baby girl, really rough recovery from a C-section. It is major abdominal surgery. You're learning to become a parent. Again, whether you're doing it for the first time, the second, or the third time, it's a different kid. It's a different experience. It's a different you. And it was so overwhelming. It was learning to be a mom. It was learning to be in my body again. And I was really just craving at the end of that a sense of my old life. And they say, and the collective, whoever the wisdom of they are, that you don't get your old life back. It's a new life. You're constantly moving forward, and that's totally true. But in exploring my new identity as a parent, as a mom, I also wanted to be able to connect with who I had always been, which was a very driven career professional that I found, and I still find joy in working in and advancing projects, and that's part of my unique identity. And for everyone, that looks very different. And I almost felt like it was ripped away from me in many ways. During my first trimester, I was exhausted and I wasn't able to volunteer for all the projects at work that I wanted to because I was just so tired. And then after I gave birth, I felt this little surge of energy. And yes, it was coupled with postpartum depression, which I wasn't aware of at the time, but it was very much just this yearning to have a taste of my old life, or maybe not my old life, but to be able to reclaim my identity as an individual and not let this idea that I'm now a mother completely take over. I wanted my identity as a mother to merge with who I was, not to completely erase it. If that
Yes.
makes sense.
Yes, it absolutely makes sense because I went through the same thing, and I don't know if you experienced this too, but when I was pregnant, so my husband and I were married for 7 years. I was 33 when I had my daughter, and she's 9 now. And we were at the point where we were like, if we're going to do this, let's just go ahead and do it now, right?
You're never ready.
You're never ready. Never
I've
ready,
got
no
it.
matter what age you are. And so I actually had depression while I was pregnant because I
Same.
knew you did. Okay, because you knew what was
Didn't know
coming.
it. But I didn't know it was depression. I just thought, oh, like this is being pregnant. This is, you know, this is what it's supposed to be. But again, there's no it's supposed to be. It's all a roller coaster.
It is, but it's so hard to be compared, you know, when you have peers that are going through that with you and they are just loving life and they are so excited. And I'm like, what do you mean? This is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. I feel terrible all the time.
So do you remember that movie, or did you ever see that movie, What to Expect When You're Expecting?
Yes.
And there's a character who has like the glow.
Yes.
I did not have the glow. I had the like very, very swollen ankles. I waddled to the mailbox. I was super uncomfortable. I live in New York City, so
Oh
it
gosh.
was like the summer heat, summer pregnancy. I felt like I was almost outside of my body looking at myself, being like, who is this person? What a
Right.
lovely like experience to be able to have. And I'm so grateful for it. But at the same time, it is so jarring that it's not what you don't say, okay, this is going to be my pregnancy journey. And then same thing like with college, for example, you don't go into college saying, oh yeah, this is going to be my major. And 4 years later, how many people are still graduating with the same major and the same career path? No, you learn about yourself and life's experiences change you. And pregnancy in some ways is that exact same thing that, okay, you want to have a kid, great, but you don't check off the boxes. This is what I want my pregnancy journey to look like. I mean, I wish, but that's not the case.
Right. In reality, it doesn't happen that way. It would be nice if we could make it, but yeah, absolutely. It doesn't
Let me
happen
know if
that
you
way.
figure it out because.
Right. So now you have two kiddos. You have two
I
children.
do. I
Okay. And
do.
so did
And
you
I wake
have.
up every morning and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm a mom. Like, it's still like, I'm not ready. So just to be very clear on that, like when you said earlier that you just like, you're like, you were at that inflection point where you're like, okay, if we're going to have kids, we do it now.
Yeah.
I wake up, I'm like, am I ready to have kids? Oh, wait, I have two.
Wait, been there, done that. We can't go back in time or go forward. Yeah, I get that. Well, I only have one because like we're one and done, but we're, you know, we're happy with that. It's total. She's a wonderful kid. We love it. But part of a little sliver of that was because of my experience that I went through when I was pregnant. And I was like, I just am not interested in doing that again. And I'm not interested in losing who I was again, because I feel like it'll be a repeat of that. So did you experience that with both pregnancies, or was that just your first? Or
Again, very, very different pregnancies. And for my first pregnancy, I had perinatal depression during the pregnancy, but
okay, yeah.
did not know it.
Okay.
Had very strong baby blues after I gave birth that very slowly or creepily turned into postpartum depression. And I was dealing with postpartum depression, I think like 9 months, until 9 months after my first daughter was born.
Okay.
And then once I started feeling better, and I'm an only child, so my husband and I always wanted to have a larger family. And once I was starting to feel better after that haze from postpartum depression, my husband was like, Are we interested in another having a kid? I was like, are we interested? Okay, we finally made the decision, got pregnant very quickly, and you never know how it's going to happen. And for us, we were very, very fortunate, pregnant super quickly. And then by the end of that first trimester, I was hit super hard with perinatal depression again. And that time, my husband and I knew what to look for. Like, we knew the questions to ask. Every day he was saying, so how are you feeling on a scale of 1 to 10, not just physically, but mentally? And I was able to get the help that I needed much sooner. So even though I struggled with the perinatal depression, once I gave birth, I didn't have the same PPD during the first time.
Okay,
But
so you did get help then. You actually like spoke to a doctor and were able to get help while
both
you were
times,
both
yeah.
times. Okay, good, because
Yeah.
that was not something that I did.
Oh.
I gave birth at a military hospital, and you know it's
Oh,
very
wow.
different. My husband was active duty for 20 years. It's very different.
Well,
So.
so my doctor is actually like, I had fantastic OBs, don't get me wrong, but they, once they bring the baby into the world, their job is kind of done. And they ask you the questions on your follow-up. They go through their checklist, how are you feeling? But when I forgot the name of the test that they give you, that, how are you mentally feeling essentially? And I didn't score well on any of them. Like, it was the worst grade I'd ever gotten in my life. And the doctor said, so you might want to consider talking to a professional. That was kind of as far as it went. And for quite a long time, my husband and I were just like, oh, it's baby blues and that's normal. And because it was both of our first experiences with kids, my eldest is the first of her generation in our family. No one, like none of our friends had had kids really, or at least friends that we were in physical proximity to. It took a while to recognize what was happening. And it was actually my daughter's pediatrician, I think, who said something to my husband and was like, hey, this isn't just baby blues. And that kind of spurred. And I was in, ultimately, I wound up going into an intensive outpatient program for postpartum depression.
So for somebody who might be going through this right now, I think part of why I didn't speak up is because I didn't know and I was scared. And I'm not somebody who freely talks about my feelings. So for me, I probably would have answered. I don't really remember those tests, to be honest with you. I remember them asking questions like, are you doing okay? And of course, I was like, oh yeah, 10, whatever. Like, just get me out of this stupid doctor's office. I just want to be out of here. Right. So for somebody who really needs help, and I think I blocked this out because I don't remember. What is the best? I mean, I'm clearly your partner. I think your husband played a huge part in that, right? So he helped you recognize those signs and helped you get help. If somebody's doctor or if somebody doesn't have a partner who can help recognize those things, or maybe their partner just isn't around, like maybe they work. My husband was deployed a lot, so he wasn't home a lot. Where should they go? What do you recommend? Like, do they go to their doctor and say, I don't feel well, or is there a program online, or do you know anything of any resources that people can reach out to?
So I love this question. And the first thing that I would say is that I think the statistic is 1 in 5 or 1 in 4 birthing parents are impacted by a PMAD, which is a perinatal mood and anxiety disorder. And postpartum depression is one potential outcome of that, or one potential manifestation of that, I should say. And it's completely normal. It feels horrible, as I don't have to tell you. And if you don't feel quote unquote like yourself, and I know you're a different person after you give birth, but if you wake up and you're just miserable, if you it's not just being tired, it's like you're having this experience where you think something's off, even just a little smidge off, it's worth having the conversation with a medical provider. You're doing yourself a disservice by not taking care of yourself. I know we all, or many of us, have the tendency to be embarrassed, to feel like we're out of control, to feel like, oh no, that's, not me. I can soldier on through and just, again, get me out of this doctor's appointment. But in becoming a parent, your mental health, your physical health, those are things that you're doing not just for yourself anymore, but you're also doing for your kids. You're taking care of those things for your children. So that's the first thing that I would say. After that, I live in, again, in New York City. I received amazing treatment at the Motherhood Center of New York, which has an intensive outpatient program. They also do a virtual program, which I believe is specifically based on the geographies from a medical standpoint. They're only allowed to treat people in certain states. But I know there are other treatment programs, there are other therapists and psychiatrists who specifically deal with PMADs. So the first thing I would say is talking to your OB because you're going through those checkups just to raise the flag and say, hey, something feels off. Most of them, even if they're not familiar with the treatment, they have, Rolodex. Can I make that
Sure.
reference? Like
Yeah.
they have it in their contacts, somebody that they can refer you to have a conversation. Call your insurance. What are your benefits for therapy? What are your benefits for a psychiatrist? Doing a Google search for PMAD or postpartum depression plus your state will come up with resources. Finding someone, obviously, in network, I'm sure for many people is preferable, and financial considerations are important for everyone. Being able to understand what your in-network, out-of-network benefits are, support groups. It's not necessarily just about one-on-one treatment, but for some people, it might just be about being around a group of new parents to talk and
Right.
having that camaraderie that comes along with it. So it's not, I don't want anyone to get terrified by being like, oh, this woman went into an intensive outpatient program. Like, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to touch this with a 10-foot pole. That was my story,
Right.
very unique to me. Other people may just need someone to talk to once a week, to vent. I'm not sleeping. I'm not, I don't feel connected to my child. I regret having a child. Whatever it is, to be able to name those feelings. For others, it might be a support group. There are so many different forms of treatment, but the first line of defense is saying to someone, if you have a partner, I say the first step is your partner. They're a partner for a reason. Calling it out that, there's something doesn't feel right here.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yes, great, great advice there. Something that really kind of hit close to home for me is when you said, I don't know that if I wanted to be a mom or wanted, where you're having those thoughts, and that's totally normal. And I think a lot of people don't vocalize that and they don't realize that, or you're not connecting. That was something for me was really hard. I didn't connect with my daughter immediately, and I felt like something's wrong with me. Is this why I want to go back to work
Yeah.
so fast? Because I don't have that connection with her. And I
Yeah.
felt like going back to work kind of helped me feel like me again. And I don't know if maybe that was your story too. I don't know if maybe going back to work kind of helped you felt, and I think you mentioned that actually at the
100%.
beginning. Yeah. So it really helped your mental health going back to work.
At the beginning, it did, and then it spiraled from there because my situation was a bit more severe. But yes, definitely going back to work at the onset did help me. Just to kind of bounce off of what you said there, I think many of us are fed this fairy tale of they place a baby in your arms and you fall in love. And there's little doves everywhere and happy, and it's fantastic. And for some people, if that may be their story and that's wonderful, that's not everyone's story. Again, like it's everyone's journey is unique. And we, many of us, myself, and like I call this out to myself on a nearly daily basis, that trying to be perfect, trying to give our kids the perfect life, trying to be the perfect parent, trying to be the perfect employee, whatever it is, it's setting unrealistic expectations because we're in effect telling our kids anything less than perfect is not good enough. And I know if my daughters, if they ever want to have children, I don't want them to think I was a perfect parent. Like, I'm not a perfect parent. How could I set them up for that sort of failure? Like, mommy sometimes needs a moment, and I'll tell them, mommy's not having a very good day today. It's not your fault. Mommy's a little sad today. It took a while for me to get to that point. But being able to be vulnerable with yourself and your kids and to show that perfection isn't the goal. And it shouldn't be the goal with ourselves, and it definitely shouldn't be the goal with our kids, because then we're setting them up for failure.
Sure, absolutely. I do like what you said, being vulnerable with ourselves. I think there's something, I know that sounds a little Like, why wouldn't you be vulnerable with yourself? But sometimes it's really hard for you to sit down and think, well, what do I really feel? Even though it feels like you shouldn't feel that way, but you do. And being vulnerable with yourself, I think, is the first step. And that's something that I think a lot of people have a really hard time doing because it's like, I don't feel comfortable, or I want to go back to work. What's wrong with me? And you when you think about what you should or shouldn't feel, it makes you feel less than. And it goes back to that perfection, like trying not to, you don't want to be perfect. There's no reason to be perfect because you're right. We're setting our kids up for failure if we try to do that. So, I do want to talk about going back to work after having, after maternity leave. So did you 12 weeks? Is that what you were off for both
I
about?
think it was 12 or 13, my
Okay.
first one, and I went straight back. My second one, I did take my full leave, and
Okay.
that was because I had had the experience of the postpartum depression the first time around. So I had had a plan for how to not make sure, but to make it more likely that I wasn't going to be in that same situation. But in retrospect, for anyone who's like, yeah, I'm ready to go back to work, for whatever those reasons are, I would say, making a plan like to take care of yourself. It's okay that you want to go back to work. You're your own person with your own needs that need to be fed, just like your kid needs nutrients. You need whatever it is to make you whole. And if that's going back to work, totally support it, but make sure you're supporting yourself. So in going back, if you were someone who was like, oh, I work from 8 to 6 or 8 to 7 daily, I don't take my lunch break and I soldier on through. Think about like, okay, what is your new life as a parent look like? Yes, going back to work, maybe you take a lunch break. Maybe, you have a conversation with your manager and say, I'm excited to come back to work. Let's talk. Like, I don't know what this is going to look like for me, in all honesty, but I know I'm excited to come back. Let's keep those regular check-ins. Let's talk about what my bandwidth looks like. Let's talk about, what the project needs are, that the company needs, and let's have that open dialogue. Don't just assume that because you want to go back, you're going back in the same capacity mentally or all of that. It changes.
Yeah, I think that's the part that's hard is because you're like, oh, I'm going to go back and it's going to be the same and I'm going to feel the same and I'm going to feel the way I did before I went on, and it's so completely different. And do you work remotely now in your
Yes.
current in your current? Okay, so you're were
So I'm
you remote?
hybrid.
Oh, you're hybrid. Okay.
I'm hybrid, so I'm more remote than in office. I try to go into the office 2 days a week. It really depends, like how well did my children sleep last night, sort of
Sure.
situation. But yeah, it's interesting, like being able to get out of the house. I'm not in favor of a total return to the office culture, but there is something very nice about
Yes. Okay, so I've been remote since
it.
2007. So that's
Oh, okay,
really all
yeah.
I know, really, for the most part. I mean, the majority of my career I've been remote. So going back to work for me was, taking my daughter, and part of daycare was part of it, what part of the deal. I had to take my daughter to daycare, which that's great. It was totally fine. So I'd get up in the morning, I would take her to daycare when she was 3 months old, and then I'd come back home and I'd work and I felt normal. And then I'd go pick her up just as if I were going to go and pick her, go into an office. So were you hybrid or remote when you went, when you had your two daughters, or were you in office? Yes.
I was hybrid for both of them.
Okay.
I would say that again, it was more leaning towards a remote situation, but it was very much both were on the table.
Do you think it makes a difference when we're remote because we don't leave our house? I think that, and that's part of the
Yeah.
mental thing there, is like it might have something to do with leaving the house, especially if you're in a hybrid situation. It's probably good to go into the office, maybe to help you.
There's totally a component to that. When I gave birth to my first daughter, it was, even though I was hybrid, I definitely had the preference for being remote, and I rolled out of bed. I was in my pajamas. I didn't turn my camera on Zoom meetings if I didn't have to, and I was able to just power into whatever I was doing, and I wouldn't notice that the hours were ticking by. that's not, it wasn't for me, especially, it was not healthy. Like, if you're going back to work, you're going back because hopefully you want the satisfaction, you want the energy that comes along with it, you want, yeah, all of those feelings. Even if you're working remotely, getting up in the morning and going through your morning routine, I am back in the office. I'm going to shower. I'm going to have breakfast. I'm going to brush my teeth. Like, these are all things. It's finding your new rhythm and routine. But again, if you have that option, whether it's a co-working space or an in-office, there is something very, very nice around, about being around other adults.
Yes.
Even if those adults have children, you don't have to talk about your children, but you can go in and just be like in the presence of other adults having conversations about adult things and work. And it's nice. It's a nice shift.
Yes. Yes, it is. Well, we are actually, thank you for that, all of that information and sharing your
Of
story. We
course.
have we're towards the end of time here. We're towards the end of time.
That's it. We're done.
But I do have a couple of questions for you to talk about really quickly before we wrap up here. What is one message you would like other moms to hear as they consider going back to work after maternity leave? I think we've definitely talked about it earlier. Make a plan. Make sure that you understand that this is a new person, that you're a new, it's a new you basically going back to work. Is there anything else that you can think of that would be a good message for moms who are transitioning back into work after maternity leave that would be
I would say
helpful?
give yourself grace to figure it all out.
Yeah.
That making a plan and not giving yourself a pass, but just acknowledging that you're going to take a hot second to figure out what all of this looks like. And it's not a, you don't write down the steps and then do them and it's perfect. That's not life. That's a movie.
Right.
That's an Instagram feed with a nice filter. So it's okay for it to feel shaky. It's okay to want to go back. And it's okay for you to not know exactly how that's going to look day to day. And it's okay for it to not feel perfect.
I love that. Yeah. I think that's a great message. One other thing, how can we create a more supportive environment for moms who are balancing their careers and family life? Is that, I mean, I think just by you be leading by example and posting such a vulnerable thing on LinkedIn, I think that's a great start. So other moms can see that it's okay to feel like that, right? Is there anything else? I mean, I definitely think support groups are important, but is there anything else? How can we create a more supportive environment
I think
for
normalizing the
moms?
conversation, and I don't think it's just moms. Like, I'm gonna give a hot take here and say it's parents, because if you also have a non-birthing parent who comes back to the office, they may very well be supporting a mom who is going back to work, or a mom who is dealing with a PMAD, that you're looking at an entire support system. So having the conversation and being open to that is the most important thing, in my opinion. And it does give me the icks every now and then. Actually, not every now and then, all the time, when I'm like, should I really put this out into the world on LinkedIn? Is this really who I have become? And I've just gotten to that point where I can be part of normalizing the conversation of saying, like, this is my journey. It is messy. It is so messy, and it's chaotic, and it's all the things, and it's also beautiful. If we can normalize having those chats and making it an environment where people feel okay to raise their voices and say, I'm not okay, or hey, I'm ready to go back to the office. Like, making it okay to have these conversations, that's what we need to do.
I love that. Thank you so much for your story, your vulnerability. It takes a lot of courage to speak out about this, and so I'm really grateful to you, and I'm so glad that we connected. Is there,
Same.
for anybody who might want to connect with you, what's the best way for them to do that? Is it LinkedIn? Is it Instagram?
It is, I'm a LinkedIn girl.
Same.
So
Okay.
follow me on LinkedIn, connect, reach out. I read all of my messages. I love connecting with new people. I love that you and I connected in this incredible way. And it's just, you never know the relationships that are going to come because you're connecting with someone's story, and you never know how it's going to make them feel or putting things out into the world. So, yes, convoluted, long-winded way of saying, please connect with me on LinkedIn. I love meeting new people. Everyone's story has value wherever you are in your parent journey, whether you're thinking about becoming a parent, you are a parent, you're struggling as a parent, whatever it is, it's great. It's amazing, and it's a journey for all of us.
It
So
is.
I would love to be along the ride for long for the ride with all of you.
Oh, I love that. Thank you, Allie, again for joining. And really quickly before we wrap up too, I actually was talking about this topic with somebody else probably 2 weeks ago, and I don't believe in coincidences. So, I think that when I saw your post, I was like, all right, universe is telling me something. We need to talk about this. So, thank you again.
My pleasure.
Listeners, follow Allie on LinkedIn, connect with her on LinkedIn. I'll put her information in the show notes. As we say here at the Remote Mom Collective, being different makes a difference. So let's support and inspire each other. Thanks, y'all.